Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
You've been listening, you've been watching, I'm sure you've seen the footage online over the past number of days. Israel has launched airstrikes against Hezbollah targets. That happened overnight yesterday. It's effectively sent thousands fleeing for safety in Lebanon. Even footage I was watching last night too of people actually driving out of the capital city, heading towards Beirut, and just the huge sense of the traffic jams that's been happening. It's pretty incredible to watch. The death toll at the moment, it's jumped to 558, over 1,800 people injured, 50 children, 94 women among the deceased. That's the details that we're hearing from the Lebanese health ministry in the past 24 hours. But I want to get a sense of what this is like for the Irish Defence Forces, because we constantly hear about Irish soldiers serving overseas in Lebanon as part of the UN peacekeeping missions. And Tom Clonan, who's an independent senator and security analyst, is with us. Tom, I suppose to take off the political hat and put back on the retired army officer uniform for a moment, can you give us a sense of what that is like at the Irish base camp in Lebanon for the Irish soldiers when what unfolded over the weekend happened in Lebanon?
Yeah, so it's a very tough environment to be in. Just for the listeners, in 96, as a peacekeeper in Lebanon, we experienced a very similar bombardment from the Israelis. They engaged in a punitive operation against the people of South Lebanon called Operation Grapes of Wrath. And in March and April of 1996, we experienced like literally tens of thousands of airstrikes, missile attacks, artillery attacks, right into the Irish area of operations, and hundreds of innocent Lebanese men, women and children were slaughtered. So you literally become, and this is what's happening with our troops now, they become human shields between, on the one hand, Hezbollah, headed up by Sheikh Nasrallah in Beirut, and the Israeli Defence Forces. What's different today, I think, is that Israel has clearly demonstrated that it no longer adheres to the laws of armed conflict and the Geneva Conventions. Their operations in Gaza have quite simply been genocidal in nature. You know, hundreds, thousands of women and children butchered in that operation without any inhibition whatsoever. The pager attack, circulating thousands and thousands of improvised explosive devices and detonating them simultaneously, as confirmed by the United Nations, was a terrorist attack. So my fear for Irish troops would be that if this escalates further into a ground invasion, there is the risk of casualties. In previous interventions by Israel, they have murdered Irish UN peacekeepers. They've murdered UN observers. So at the moment, what does it look like? So for Irish troops, there are men and women there. Yes, some of them will take protective measures. So, for example, during active shelling and airstrikes, some of our troops will go into underground bunkers or shelters. But not everybody can, because we do have troops who are engaged in perimeter security, observation duties, and very often, as happened to me in several occasions, you'll be out on patrol in a village when it gets hit, because the Israelis or Hezbollah are going to tell you when they're going to open fire.
Well, I was reading something about Benjamin Netanyahu in the past 24 hours talking about these 80,000 calls that have been made to residents living in Lebanon, basically warning them to evacuate, which I assume was the scenes we saw last night as many people left their home and travelled from the capital city. Look, I mean, I'm sure even just the sheer shelling and everything, the explosions, the missile attacks that has happened in general, people naturally would get up and would leave. And there was talk online too last night of people, you know, looking to try and secure accommodation elsewhere. But for those Irish soldiers that are in Camp Shamrock, not all of them are in Camp Shamrock, as you said, they're out in the periphery, they're in...
Yeah, well, they have to mount perimeter security. Like, peacekeeping is a dangerous occupation. Force protection measures will be the absolute priority of the local leadership on the ground. They'll be monitoring back through UNIFIL headquarters and back to Dublin. But really, what I'm trying to say to you is that in the history of our peacekeeping in Lebanon, about 50% of our casualties were inflicted by Islamic resistance groups like Hezbollah, and the other 50% were murdered by Israeli troops or their proxies in South Lebanon. And this business of recorded messages, you know, these telephone calls that you hear about, you know, you get a phone call on your mobile and you hear a recorded voice message telling you that there's something going on with your Revolut account or your Amazon account. That's the nature of those calls. They're a generic, mass-produced recorded message. And again, to do that to the civilian population, it's a psychological operation. It's to instill fear into the population. And, the laws of armed conflict and the Geneva Conventions are very clear. You cannot target or strike civilian objects, even if there is a suspicion that there might be a missile or a weapon hidden in that house. You can't do that. And you now have tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands now, Lebanese fleeing north because they've seen what's happened in Gaza. Mm. If I was to say if there was anything positive, I'd say it would be that they haven't hit Lebanese critical infrastructure yet, like their power stations, their transport systems and airports, transport hubs and that. So they haven't quite got to the point of all-out war. But I would say to people, watch now in the next week or so in the run-up to 7th of October, the one-year anniversary of the Hamas attacks, you may see an intervention because Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant, his defence minister, have been very explicit. They've said that they're going to deal with Hezbollah by military means in order that Israelis can return to their homes in northern Israel, in Galilee, Rosh Hanikra, Tiberias, and in those areas.
The whole focus really has kind of been, you know, on the southern border, and it's moving, I suppose, to northern territory at the moment, and that's the focus we've been seeing in the past 48 hours. But Dorca Lee, stay with me, Tom, if you don't mind. Dorca Lee is a defence analyst and retired army colonel, and Dorca's with us on the line today. You also spent time in Lebanon, like Tom, Dorca. What's your memories of the region?
Well, yes, I did. I served with both UNIFIL and with UNSO. With UNIFIL in southern Lebanon, I was company commander back in 79. And then in 82 to 84, I served with UNSO, with the Observer Group Lebanon, operating at Nahariya supporting UNIFIL in the south and in Observer Group Beirut. Essentially, the situation, Tom has described it very well. I think the point at the moment, though, is we need to look at where things are at the moment. There was a resolution 1701 at the end of the fighting in 2006. And that resolution was supposed to solve the problem of Hezbollah and the problem of Israeli presence in the south. But it was never implemented. And this is the point. The point is, it had tasked the Lebanese government and UNIFIL on getting Hezbollah out of that particular area. This was the task. Now, it's not a UNIFIL problem because UNIFIL can only act when the Lebanese government requests it to get Hezbollah out of the area. Such a request has never been given. But the fundamental problem in Lebanon goes right back to a situation where the Lebanese armed forces, right from independence in 1943 and on, Lebanon was the first time I was involved in Lebanon was in 1966. Lebanon was an incredibly wealthy country. It was one of the highest per capita incomes in the world. It could have afforded to have proper defence forces. It didn't have them. It neglected it completely. Now, there was a lot of militias belonging to the different confessional factions, religious groupings and that were there in the country. And later, then, foreign intervention, particularly from the arrival of the building of Hezbollah being the most recent one. But earlier than that, you had the PLO. So all of these forces got established inside in Lebanon and would not have happened if it had been a proper Lebanese central government properly organised. And we didn't do that. And by the way, I just make that point. They are as defenceless as Ireland is today. We are in the same situation. We have neglected our defence.
Just to that, like, how used to violence from whether it be Hezbollah or the IDF, the Israeli Defence Forces, are the Irish troops that are there and based out of Camp Shamrock?
Well, I think, first of all, there's the current situation is there's a lot of stuff flying in the air over the UNIFIL area. And that is a constant point of immediate danger. I don't think that Hezbollah per se or the Israelis will attack the UNIFIL. at all. I don't think that's what they will do. And they're in the past, even if the Israelis were to conduct an offensive operation, UNIFIL will disengage, observe and report. That's the practical side of it. But the thing is that there is Resolution 1701 did change UNIFIL's mission, the mission that Tom and I would have served in. It did change that. It gave a certain amount of teeth. It was a Chapter 7 mission now, that they can actually intervene in certain circumstances. The primary function was to get Hezbollah out of that area, south of the Litani River, and to get Israel to move back behind the blue line and not to engage in fighting. So, but the as I agree with Tom, there is absolutely a danger because the UNIFIL troops, because of their work, they have to be out and about. They can't all be roundhouse in shelter.
Well, the first person that, you know, I thought of this morning when I was thinking about this, Tom, like Private Sean Rooney. Yeah, just 2 years ago.
Yeah, he was murdered by Hezbollah recently. And, you know, that there's always that risk. I suppose my concern would be that the Israeli Defense Forces under Netanyahu's direction and this right-wing government that he's propping him up, they really have disregarded the laws of armed conflict in relation to their operations in Gaza. They've been very, very disinhibited. And, you know, whilst I agree with Colonel Lee that they're not likely to deliberately target UNIFIL at the outset, there is the risk of being caught in the crossfire. And, you know, Hezbollah will be provocative. They will launch from close to UN sites. Israel will respond. During our time, they directly targeted our neighbouring UN position at Qana and murdered 117 men, women and children that were sheltering there, innocent men, women and children. And at the moment, as you read out at the top of this piece, we've 558 Lebanese killed in the last, number of days, including 50 children, 100, almost 100 women, thousands injured. You have to ask yourself the question, what is it that Netanyahu hopes to achieve? What are his war aims? If it's to push the Hezbollah back north of the Litani River, consistent with the UN Security Council resolution, I don't think he's going to be able to achieve that unless he goes in on the ground. And even if he does, they now have a stockpile of missiles that can reach targets all across Israel, north of the Litani. Mm. And they now also, Hezbollah, have, if you like, a land corridor through Syria, Iraq, right into Iran itself, so that they can be resupplied, reinforced. Hezbollah is not Hamas, and I'm not an apologist for Hezbollah. They murdered many of my colleagues, but they're not Hamas, and this risks escalation and involvement of the United States, who have two aircraft carrier groups in the Eastern Mediterranean, offshore Cyprus and along the Lebanese Mediterranean coast. They also have US Marines, a Marine Expeditionary Force. And Netanyahu will hope to get the United States in a headlock before the presidential election and align this offensive. And I would say again, watch that anniversary of the 7th of October attacks. My hope is that they don't, okay, but I think we need to expect the worst.
Let me bring in Raymond Murphy. Raymond is a professor at the Irish Centre for Human Rights in NUI Galway. Because Raymond, you've previously worked as a UN peacekeeper in the Middle East. What's your concern for the Irish troops, Irish soldiers currently serving as part of that UN peacekeeping mission in Lebanon today?
I suppose my main concern would be force protection. I would agree with what was said, that I don't think that the Israeli forces or Hezbollah will deliberately target UNIFIL or the Irish. But nonetheless, they are in grave danger being in the middle of the current round of hostilities. And as Tom pointed out, many of our forces have died as a consequence of both Islamic resistance members and Israeli Defense Forces attacks on the region. So that would be my main concern. And I don't think there have been calls to withdraw the Irish and withdraw UNIFIL from the area because of the situation that's unfolded. But actually, I think it would be very impractical to try to do so in the current security climate. I think you'd only actually put them in grave danger. Irish forces have been there since 1978. As Tom has pointed out in particular, they have endured much worse than this in the past. And they are well trained. They have put in significant protective measures, but they are still in danger. And the one thing that I maybe with that Colonel Dorica Lee and I might differ on would be that the nature of the mission. When the Resolution 1701 was adopted in 2006, it's true that the Americans in particular and the Israelis essentially wanted to push UNIFIL to do what the Israelis were unable to do when they attacked Lebanon at that time, as in disarm and move Hezbollah out of the area. And UNIFIL quickly learned that it couldn't actually, you know, it wasn't able to carry out an enforcement mission. It's not been able to do so. It's not equipped. It doesn't have the capacity to take on in a forceful measure any of the parties to the conflict. It relies on the goodwill and consent of Hezbollah, the Israelis and the Lebanese armed forces. And obviously that's not there now.
Yeah.
But in the long run, they may well be still in a position to play a significant role in de-escalating the situation. And they are the eyes of the international community. They are witnesses to what is happening there. And they also had, back in 2017, when an Irish force commander was there, General Michael Beery, they put in place an implementation plan for the protection of civilians. Now, most civilians have left the South. But this was an effort to actually try to put in place something which might work in protecting civilians, evacuating from immediate areas of danger, get them across what's called the Litani River to a place of greater safety. Assembly areas are security zones, but also then to be able to provide humanitarian assistance to those left behind. Mm. Because in any situation of conflict, it's always the poorest, the most marginalized, will have nowhere to go and no means to get there. And that will still be the case. There will be people who have to remain despite the danger in South Lebanon.
Dorica, can you give us a little bit of an insight into, as a retired Army colonel, what's happening in the Irish Defence Forces headquarters today? Like, what conversations are taking place? Is this just part of the course? If you're out serving in the UN, like, can you give us a little bit of an insight into what might be happening there?
I would say the overseas room is very, very busy keeping in touch with UNIFIL and with UNSO, with their Irish elements that are with UNSO in the area. So you can be sure that Defence Force Headquarters is fully informed and keeping abreast of it. And it is ready at any time to help and support the troops out there. Not that this is happening now, but they're in a very good position, really. I think it's not like in the old days when communications were particularly bad and between Lebanon and Ireland. There's multiple means of communications. So they know what's going on. And I think that if there were requests for any additional logistical support or that from the Irish contingent, if there was something new that arose, that they would get it out there to them fairly quickly.
The defence, has the Justice Minister, Tom, has there been much response from the Justice Minister today on this? Or is there likely to be, it's the Minister for Defence, apologies, on the Irish response, sir?
Yeah, well, I think the Taoiseach is alive to what's happening and is in constant communication with the Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Sean Clancy. But I would say for the families listening, relatives of our male and female troops out in Lebanon, despite the tension and despite the position that the Irish government has taken, and I believe they've taken great moral leadership, and the tension between Ireland and Israel, there is a very good line of communication between the Irish military on the ground with both the Israeli Defence Forces in northern Israel and also with Hezbollah. That's one of the things we've been lucky. We have a good line of communication. And the other thing is, I would say to people listening, especially families, force protection measures are the number one priority, and they will alter their operations to reflect the deteriorating situation. And also, every battalion has a withdrawal plan. Mm. There's a contingency.
When do you enact that, Tom?
Well, that would be a decision that would be taken locally. You know, if the situation were to deteriorate, I agree with both Ray and Colonel Lee that It's although the Israelis have directly attacked UN positions in the past, they're likely to do so again. But if the invasion were to deteriorate to such a point that it was no longer tenable, then there is a withdrawal action plan, either towards Beirut or even south into Israel proper itself. There are different iterations of these plans. We have the support of neighbouring countries and allies. For example, the British have a big base in Cyprus, which is 20 minutes from Beirut. If we needed medical assistance or if we needed mass transportation or what have you. So, you know, all of these measures are being actively considered, both locally in the local contingency plans and back at home. And I would say to families that every step that can be taken to ensure the safety of troops is being taken.
Well, it was fascinating to get an insight from your own experience as an army officer and retired army colonel Dearca Lee as well. Tom Clonan, thanks a million for joining us here today on the programme. Defence analyst Dearca Lee and also professor at the Irish Centre for Human Rights at NUI Galway, Raymond Murphy. Thanks, Raymond, for your time on the programme. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.